Galatians chapter 5 for a scripture lesson, and then our prayer time, I'm going to combine the deacon prayer together with my prayer. The fifth Sunday, it's my turn, so we'll do that. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to begin reading at verse 16. And that's page 826, by the way, in your pew Bible, if you want to follow along there. Galatians 5, beginning to read at verse 16 to the end of the chapter. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, thank the Lord for that but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. As we go to the prayer this morning, I want to again remind us that to remember Gina Burt, who is in the Hershey Hospital at this time. She was taken in, I believe, Friday. Again, had bouts of fainting. She said she was in her room. Her and Chris were looking out a window, and the next thing she remembered, Chris was down looking into her face as she was on the floor asking her if she was all right. Has no idea what is causing this. They're running tests. They ran tests last night. They're going to be running some more today. And so our prayers, the Lord would certainly give healing to Gina, and maybe perhaps through that would give wisdom to the doctors and nurses as they work with her there. I thank God for modern medicine, and I know that God can work through that as well. So remember the family today. Perhaps you have an unspoken request. You'd like to put your hand up to indicate that need. Yes, I see hands all over the audience. Wonderful that we're coming for a God that does hear and answer prayer, and one that knows your need and my need, and he's concerned. So let's join our faith together now as we come before the Lord in prayer. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, what a delight it is again to be met together in a house of prayer with friends and family, neighbors, and guests, Lord. We just pray your blessing on each one that has come today. We have been challenged, as we heard from our brother and sister, concerning JARS and Wycliffe, the organizations that are busily translating God's word, that more people be able to read the word in their very own native language. And so I pray your blessing on all of these missionaries, no matter what the various roles they may fill. Lord, encourage them to realize they're in a very important work, that the gospel message is going out. And as they read the scriptures, Lord, their hearts are enlightened. Conviction comes and they seek you. Lord, may many, many more find Jesus Christ before it's too late. We do realize we are living in the last days, and so, Lord, we sense this urgency. Help us, Lord, to support organizations like what we've been hearing here today, that, Lord, your word would indeed go forth. I think of the Gideon organization as they're passing Bibles out around the world, and where it very well could be that they are using the translations in different countries that the Wycliffe has presented for that. And so bless all, Lord, that are involved in this. And we here in the homeland, Lord, we can be praying. And we all can say, yes, Lord, here am I, send me. And Lord, as you lay your hand upon us, may we be obedient to be used of you, whether here or there, wherever you call us, that, Lord, your work would continue, your kingdom would be growing. Today, Lord, as we've looked into the faces of this dear people, saw the hands were raised. You know every need, Lord, that's represented behind that hand. And today we come to you knowing, Lord, you're a God that does hear and answer prayer. And so, Lord, I believe you're beginning to work in behalf of the requests that have been represented this way. You know every heart here today. And I ask, Lord, the Holy Spirit would be here to search us and to draw us closer to you, O Lord. Now we ask that you would be with those that could not be here today for various reasons, some that need a touch of healing in their body. Think of Gina there in the Hershey Medical Center. Lord, be with her and Chris and the family. And I just pray for healing for this dear lady, that they could get to the bottom of what is causing these blackouts. And she was in good spirits yesterday as we visited with her. And she loves you, and she was hoping she could be here today. Lord, help her just to be patient and rest. I said, just enjoy the Hilton while you're here. And I'm just trusting you, Lord, that you're going to be with them. Others, Lord, that we may not be aware of, we ask that you touch their bodies as well. Maybe there's someone here in our midst today that is suffering and has pain. I think of our sister Naomi. She's suffered so much. And now soon perhaps be having surgery. And I just pray for her and Oren. You continue to help them through this journey. And others, Lord, just help us to look to you and to thank you for your love and your goodness and that you are hearing and answering prayer. Bless us together now as we look into your word, as we've been doing this series on the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, I pray today that you just bless now as we look at the word patience. I'm sure that all of us could say, yes, Lord, we need more of that. And so challenge us together. We love you. We give you praise. For it's in your worthy and precious name that we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I've been in places of business, and I'm sure you have too, and you've seen those little captions on the wall. You want it when? Or I want it yesterday? Patience versus impatience. Meaning, I want it now. Some of you children, when you want a piece of candy and you ask mommy for it, and she says, well, I want you to do this and then I'll have it for you. And sometimes you think, but mother, I want it now. It's learning patience. Blessing to you parents as you do that. But I really fear that impatience is like a national disease, maybe even the world over. If you doubt that when you're driving and you tarry more than 3 seconds at a green light, what's going to happen? I said 3 seconds. Wasn't I generous? People behind you, they want to go instantly. Last evening, we went over to our son and daughter's place in Lebanon. And there's a place, it's Route 72, and see, I think 322 comes, there's like a Y there. And you have to get over to the right lane if you want to go down into Lebanon. It's happened to be several times that I'm just ready to turn over my lane and all of a sudden I realize somebody's flying by me on my right side. Well, last night there was an impatient guy behind me. And as soon as I got over, he flew by me and it was a slow person. So he pulled right over in front of me. It's plenty close for an old guy like me. What did he gain? One car length. I followed him the whole way into the red light. Impatience. We see it every day, do we not? And Lord, forgive us if we're that guy. Well, people want things now. They want it instantly if possible. I really appreciate having some of the modern conveniences that I didn't know when I was young. Instant potatoes, I remember when they were yucky. But now, there's a few times, now my wife usually has me peel the potatoes, but once in a while we're in a hurry and she'll get a box of instant potatoes out. And I mean to tell you, they're delicious. All different types of, oh boy, maybe I said the wrong thing, hon, I'm getting looks. They are good. Okay, let's move on. Instant breakfast, like these little oatmeal packs you put in the microwave and pop it right out. Boy, in the wintertime, I eat a lot of that. Fast food restaurants, you don't want to sit and wait on your order. You go to McDonald's or wherever your favorite place might be. How about you sports lovers? They go those instant replays. That's nice, isn't it? I mean, you see, watching a game, which I'm not really a sports person, but once in a while I do. You ought to see my wife. She really gets into it. Sometimes I even leave the room because she's into it more than I think she should be. But there's a play happens, and then you see a replay right away. And that's pretty cool, you know. I'm sorry, dear. I don't mean to be picking on you today. Microwaves, you know, the instant and helping with our cooking. And fellows like me that can't cook real well, microwaves really come in handy. Do you know this fast pace is affecting every one of us, even in the church? Now think with me. You pray for a need, and you're saying, okay, Lord, I'm ready for the answer. But maybe it's not going to come right away. It may take weeks till an answer comes, but we want to know now. Right? I'm not the only one. We ask God for direction. We want to know immediately. And then we wonder, well, Lord, why aren't you hearing me? Everything needs to happen in a matter of minutes. And God forbid if it takes a few hours. I'm afraid more of us are affected with this virus of impatience than we'd really want to admit. We think of ourselves as a very patient person, don't we? You're all patient people, right? Come on. Oh, you're not even sure. I see. Okay. Ask your husband or wife. Maybe they could help you. But we need to be honest and admit that here's an area that we all have need. How about you? You want patience. You want it right now. LOL. In reading some time ago, I came across something that I thought was very interesting. Type A and type B personality. And as I go over some of this, I want you to think in your mind, not what your husband is or your wife is, but where do you think you fit? A man required to open heart surgery around 40 years old. When the doctor said that there was a problem, he was at normal height and weight, got lots of exercise. His body was dying without bypass surgery. The doctor told him that 90% of all people who die before the age of 60 of heart attack are type A behavior. Type A people do not like to wait in a line, whether it's a grocery store or on the freeway. They read their mail. They have a computer there doing their email letters or whatever while they're trying to eat their lunch. They're characterized by impatience. They seem to always be in a hurry. The elevator. Do you ever see people push the elevator button and, what's taking this elevator so long? And then they get inside. It just takes forever to get up to your floor. Talk about numbers and success, and they usually don't have a consuming hobby. Yes, they may have friends, but seldom do they have close friends. How do you measure up? That's type A. Well, then there's type B. The doctor says there's ample evidence to suggest that if you want to live longer, a person should work harder being type B. That person enjoys taking time to eat. My wife says, honey, slow down. I always eat so fast. Marie, where are you? We go out for breakfast and she's over there eating and I'm done waiting. And I'm going, oh, no. She takes her time. She's healthy. She's probably going to live longer than me. And type B, if you get in a traffic jam, so what? You know, talk to your wife or listen to the radio. You'll get through it. They allow their systems to recharge. In other words, while waiting. They have hobbies to change the hectic pace of life. Type B people find and develop close friendships. In other words, they slow down life, and could I say they smell the roses? You know what I mean. They most likely are going to live longer and be happier while they do. So friends, we're either type A or type B. Well, here's a little comparison chart that my wife, she knew what I was working on, and she said, look what I found. And there you have it in front of you. I'm not going to take the time to go down over that line by line, but maybe you can quickly be looking at that. But notice the type B side is a whole lot shorter. As I study these two types, I have to be honest and admit to you, I think a lot of us probably are a good mix, that we have some from both sides. I was talking to Helen before the service, and she thought too, I was sharing a little bit what I'm going to be saying here. But I'm sure we all can think of somebody, oh yeah, they're type A, no doubt about it. Or they're type B. Or I wish I was type B, huh? As Christians, we're not exempt from problems, not exempt from stress and trials. But the Lord wants to help us. He's here to help us in those areas of weakness where we fall short. And so I think it's a good thing to look into the Word and study this word patience, the fruit, one of the fruit of the Spirit. The Greek language breaks this word down into two very different meanings. One, being having respect of to people. Are you patient with others, with one another? This kind of person usually is not easily provoked. As some would say, he has a long fuse or she has a long fuse. He has endurance like we see in the scriptures there in 2 Samuel 16, 10 through 13, and I'm not going to read it, but if you want to read that story, it's very interesting. The story of King David. His son Absalom was trying to take over the country, and David and his trusted advisors were fleeing for their lives. And they're out on a dusty road. And here is Simei. He is from the clan of the former King Saul, and he felt that God was now repaying King David for some of the terrible things that happened to his family. And so what is he doing? He's throwing stones at the king, kicking up dust, probably throwing sand at him. And believe me, in the land of Israel, that's about everywhere you look. There's sand and stones. The amazing thing, though, is how King David reacts. I mean, here is the king of the land. He would have just said a word, and one of his men would have run a sword through Simei. In fact, I think some wanted to do that. They wanted to punish him for the way he was treating the king. And yet, King David would not retaliate. His men with him thought, well, this is terrible the way you're treating our king. He's innocent of this. But he did not retaliate. He had patience with that man. Listen closely. Because he felt God was teaching him, King David, a lesson to humble himself, to have more patience. The other meaning for patience is in respect of things, two things. It describes a person who does not lose heart or courage when adversity comes, and it will come. How we respond to tests and trials, do we respond with patience, or is it, are we full of anxiety and despair? I'm sure we all know the story of Johnny Erickson Tada. I remember when that first took place, and I remember when the movie came out. I read her book. She's about the same age as I am. But from being a healthy young girl diving in the water and breaking her neck and becoming a quadriplegic at 17 years of age, to now the mature Christian woman that she is today and has touched thousands of lives the world over, it was her simple trust and faith in God that did this for her. And all the important lessons that she learned, and then now she can in turn share with others, and how we can learn as we see the patience both she and us need to have. In the Old Testament, we read of Job, and my, who else in the Bible had tests and trials any worse than Job did, the afflictions that came upon him. He lost most of his family, his property, his homes, his flocks, severely tested, even to the point where his body was covered with boils. And he's still alone, even in the midst of so-called friends that came to comfort him. They did a poor job of it, judging him to the very end, it seemed. But he proved himself faithful to God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, is what he said. He rose above his circumstances because he had patience in respect to things and his surroundings. Well, here in our scripture lesson today, Galatians 5, verse 22, the Apostle Paul uses the word patience in a means of to things and or to persons rather, how we react one to another. The gift of patience from God with those who rub the wrong way. That one that has that sandpaper personality. Could be your relatives. You know, you can't pick your relatives. It could be your coworker, maybe your supervisor or boss over you. The gift of patience comes from God because God himself is patient. Amen? May God help us to seek him, to be more like him. We want to be more like Jesus. Then as Christians, we can display patience one to another. And we certainly need the Lord's help here because, let's be honest, I think for the most part, we're more apt to be impatient first. Well, verses 19 through 21 in our text that we read, you see it there before you maybe? Yes. All the acts of the sinful nature, they're so obvious as you go down over that list. And the very last statement, I trust, really grabs a hold of us. He says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 20, there's vices listed there. In that category should fall impatience as well. Think with me now. Isn't strife and discord frequently related to impatience? Jealousy often means being jealous of others that are getting ahead of us. Outbursts of anger, fits of rage because we're hindered one way or another, such as being stuck in traffic or somebody cuts us off, an inappropriate driver. You've probably heard the term road rage. Do you remember just a few weeks ago in the news, 28-year-old man that pulled a pistol out and shot an 18-year-old graduate, a young girl, in the head because she had got ahead of him as they came on a freeway? When I read that, I thought, how can it be? It was the rage that filled his heart, probably selfishness. How dare you do that to me? You're going to pay. And today he sits in prison. Friends, each of us has times of stress and testing. We do. That's part of life. And so we pray, Lord, help us in those times of temptation to react when we should be praying instead. Paul continues the list with selfish ambition, dissensions, disputes, backbitings, factions, characteristics of those who have not yet experienced the purification work of the blessed Holy Spirit within. Friends, the fruit of the Spirit is so very obvious and opposite of what those first verses were there. When one goes from verses 19 through 21, and then you start verses 22 and 23, oh, the miraculous change that God will wrought in the heart of a man and a woman. What a great change. And so looking forward to the opposite of patience, to being impatient, you notice how natural it even comes to a little baby. You mothers, you don't teach your child to be impatient, do you? It seems to come very natural. You don't have to wait long to see the tendency of an infant to be impatient. If you're busy and a little child is wanting something and they're fussing, I've been in restaurants or public places where that gets louder and louder and louder until finally the problem's dealt with. So what do? We come from the womb with a tendency towards impatience. From birth to death, we battle that. So what do we do with this tendency? How can we find help to overcome it? Well, let's look at three areas. First of all, patience with self. Patience with self. You want to create or develop something of worth, it takes time. I'm sure my brother Merkley could tell you that. When he's working on a tool, I did a little bit of that in high school. We had a metal class. It just wasn't my forte, Jay, sorry. But we made a few things, but it took time to do it right. And you want it to be right, especially when you're fixing airplanes. You don't want that to fail. But it takes time, brothers and sisters, to become the person God wants you to be. Think of Moses. Many years in the desert preparing to become a Torah and the leader that God wanted him. You realize he was 80 years old when God began to use him to go back to Egypt and to free his children that were in bondage. The Apostle Paul was a senior citizen before he penned the New Testament writings. Apostle John. The Apostle Paul also had several years of preparation before God was going to use him. Maturity comes slowly, but it must come. May we encourage each other as we grow together in Christ and be patient. I'm glad you're patient with me, and I in turn want to be patient with you. Some, yes, take longer than others, which certainly requires patience. It's a lifelong process, so remember, God isn't finished with us yet. The Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 9, let us not grow weary while doing good for in due season. If we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And so God is working in every one of us today, and it takes time. So let's be patient one with another. Not so patient that we settle for mediocrity. Secondly, patience with others. I'm sure you heard the saying, don't criticize someone unless you walk a mile in their moccasins. Our impatience with others could certainly and easily arise out of misunderstanding. No one can see into another's soul and know their deepest inner needs. Only God, the Holy Spirit, can do that. But don't we generally try to bring our frame of reference to another person? We expect them to live and act according to the way that we've been raised or conditioned. But really, that's quite unfair. No two of us are alike. Now, most of you know I have an identical twin brother, Ron. If he were here today and was up here, you wouldn't know it was me or him preaching. Of course, yes, he did lose quite a bit of weight of late. I suppose you would see the difference. But we look very much alike. We do a lot of things alike. And yet, there's a lot of things that is so different. Those of you that know us, I see some heads shaking. And you could ask our wives. They would certainly agree. But one put it this way. Christian pilgrims do not qualify as critics of fellow pilgrims for the simple reason that no one has yet arrived. Maybe I should repeat that. Christian pilgrims do not qualify as critics of fellow pilgrims for the simple reason that no one has yet arrived. We're all on a journey together. Have you ever worked with someone who cut you off and was rude and was speaking unkindly, and you later found out that they were battling pain or some type of a problem in their lives? School teachers sometimes find this true if there's a loud, misbehaving child that has trouble getting along with other children, and only to find that frequently they come out of a home where there's strife between parents, maybe an alcoholic father or alcoholic mother. So we need to remember that when we come, or where we've come from, and the time that it took us to come to where we are today. Remember the account of Paul and John Mark in the New Testament. Paul became impatient with John Mark because he left him. He was a quitter just when he needed him. He went on his own way. But later, Barnabas said, "Paul, I think we should take him along with us. Let's give him another chance." Paul disagreed. He did not want another failure. And you know, as it played out, Paul took Silas and Barnabas took John Mark. Well, I'm so glad that John Mark proved himself, later became useful in the cause of spreading the gospel, and even later a leader in the early church. Paul did not have the patience that Barnabas showed there, but in time, Barnabas, it paid off for him in the life of John Mark. Could it be that Barnabas thought back when he was young, some of the problems he had, and how God had helped him, and now he again thought, well, God can help John Mark as well. And so perhaps that's what helped him better understand this young man. Patience with the immature gives us encourage to keep growing in hard times. And then lastly, it's patience with God. Patience with God. Read the four Gospels, and you can see so many of the stories in the life of Christ, why he was here in this world. And I would be one to say that I believe Jesus displayed a type A behavior. Yes, he dealt with the unrighteous religious leaders because of their falsehood, and they were hindering his ministry. He always put his Father's will ahead of himself. But then the type B side, he was never in a hurry. He was patient with people, always wanting to do what God would ask of him, the Father's biddings. God is not in a hurry. Did you know that? He has his timetable. He is working in every one of our lives. And if we're patient and allow him to bring forth the beauty of what he wants to make us, oh, praise God. It is wonderful to behold. So how often do we pray and think that, Lord, I need it now. It has to be my time frame, but that may not be God's time frame. His timing is always the best. And so, Lord, help us to pace ourselves with you. Just because we're all out of breath, seemingly doing well, is no guarantee that we're in the center of God's will. One of the beautiful words for the Christian life is simply relax. Relax. Relax in his grace, in his goodness, in his purpose, and in his salvation. Remember, your my salvation is not dependent on our energy and efforts. Jesus provided it on the cross. The debt was paid. We need to come to him and receive that. We see this clearly in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For it is by grace that you've been saved, through faith, and this is not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. Amen. What Christ accomplished on Calvary and that cross is for his glory and our eternal good. Let's walk with God. Let's not lag behind or try to push ahead. Lord, help us to walk as Enoch walked with you daily, every day, that we can serve the Lord as he directs us. In closing, I want to share this trusted old challenge, you as it did me. Patience means fellowship with him, insight in his will, understanding his heart, and a recognition that God is working for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Do you agree with me? We need to be patient just as God is patient with us. Amen. Let's be patient one with another. The worship team comes now to conclude the service. Let's stand together as they come.